And this morning we want to talk about renewing your gratitude. There are so many things to be grateful for. And sometimes I don't know if we take enough time to think about all the things that we have. When I think about all the things that I have rather than all the things that I don't, I have a different attitude. But we can be thankful for our family, for friends, for our health, our jobs, food, clothing, shelter. Think about all the things we take for granted and the comforts that we have, telephones, televisions, computers, internet, cell phones, cars to drive. All the things that we could do without, but that we are blessed to have, that make our life so much easier. Water to drink, air to breathe, all of those things are blessings that come from God. And we need to remember those blessings and where they come from. There is a disease called Alzheimer's, where we forget things. You know, when you, and I don't know who's got it and who hadn't. I tell people that I have some timers. Sometimes I forget. Most of the time I might forget. And I'm quickly approaching that day where all the time I forget. But you know, there are some tricks that you can learn. When my eyesight started going bad, I learned how to squint to read. You know, you squeeze in my eye, and I don't know how come that works, but it would cause things to come into focus a little better. But my eyesight got so bad, I had severe headaches. I get up in the morning, and an hour and a half after getting out of the bed, I'd have a headache so bad that didn't matter how many aspirin I took or what happened. All I could do was go back to bed and stay. Didn't know it was my eyes. The doctors wanted to run all kinds of tests, and somebody says, go have his eyes checked. Well, my eyesight was so bad that, a six-year-old, you're not going to wear glasses if you can help it. That's just the worst thing that a six-year-old could put up with in my day. And so I threw a fit. I wasn't going to wear them things. I was going to lose them. I was going to break them. I was going to this. I was going to that. And when I got them home, found out that trees have leaves. You couldn't get them off of me. I could see. And when it comes to forgetfulness, there are some things that we can do that will help us to kind of cover up our forgetfulness. We can take notes. We can do recordings. When you go to Walmart, you park in the same parking spot all the time so that you don't have to remember. Or you do like I do when I go to Walmart, even now, when I get out of the car, I write down the row that I'm parked on. Because they all blend together. And so there's some shortcuts that we can take that will hide our physical memory loss. And there are some shortcuts that we can take to hide our spiritual memory loss. We want to talk this morning about renewing our gratitude, and that involves our memory and remembering things. And there is a picture of a normal brain activity and a brain activity of someone who has Alzheimer's. And you can see how they work differently. How one of them doesn't work quite like the other one does, or like a normal brain is supposed to, kind of like eyes that are nearsighted or farsighted, they don't work like normal eyes. Let's talk about physically we hide it. Then there is the diagnosis. Moses warned that prosperity can make one partially susceptible to spiritual forgetfulness. Prosperity leads to pride. Pride leads to ingratitude, and ingratitude leads to death. When God is forgotten, no hope remains for man. What are we talking about? What am I saying? I'm saying that if we're not careful, when we begin to prosper, we begin to say, look what I did. It's my fault. I accomplished this. It's my success. And maybe to some extent it is, but it is more importantly largely because of God's blessing you in your work and in your labors and in your trials and in your efforts. Forgetfulness is much more than absent-mindedness. You can remember biblical facts, but their significance may become blurred until God comes to the real presence and governing force in your life. You can remember biblical facts, and it's great to know biblical facts. It's something we have to do, is know biblical facts. But just as important as knowing biblical facts is putting those facts into practice. Let me ask you a question. How many of you know that God loves you? Come on, raise your hand up. We've got some of you are not raising your hand. I want you to know God loves you. He loves you more than you will ever realize. And you have no idea of how much He loves you until you get to heaven and see what Jesus gave up and how much He sacrificed so that you could go to heaven. But you know, knowing that God loves you is not enough. I know He loves me, and I know I am called to show that love, that same kind of love, to others. Right? Any amens? Charles is missing that one. He gets all of them that everybody, he missed that one. Let me tell you, you are called to show love to everybody else. When one hits you on the right cheek, what are you to do? Turn the other cheek. If someone compels you to go 1 mile, go 2 or 3 or more. Now that going 1 mile is a lesson that comes from a Roman soldier compelling you to carry his load, his armor, his sack, or whatever you call it. He could compel you, he could force you to tote it for 1 mile. And you know, a Jew would hate to have to tote his enemy's armor. Go 2 miles. It's all about an attitude. I have been shown love. I am called to show love. It doesn't matter how much I know about it. If I don't practice it, if I don't do it, does it do me any good? No. We are to remember that all things come from God. Deuteronomy 8, verses 17 and 18. Moses says, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. While we have the tendency to say, it's my hand, I've done this, Moses says, remember, it is God that gives you the power. Our prognosis, affluence, is not inherently evil. In other words, it's not wrong to have. But many temptations are associated with the real issue is a person's attitude, or more precisely, our gratitude towards it. It's not wrong to have money in the bank, fine houses, nice cars, good clothing, fine china, jewelry. Question that I want to ask you is, where did you get it? God allowed me to get it. Why do you have it, and what are you going to do with it? All the things that you have are blessings from God. What are you going to do with it? And James says that we ask and we have not because we ask amiss so that we can consume it upon our own lust. So do you have it so that you can use it and enjoy it all by yourself? Or do you have it so that you can use it as a means of blessing other people? I believe that we are called to use those things as a blessing to spread God's word. New houses, settling down in a new land, the Israelites were going to be able to eat their fill. They were going to be satisfied with bountiful harvest. Their flocks would grow and their wealth would increase. Moses warns them not to let their hearts grow proud and cause them to forget the Lord. God's going to bless you. He's going to give you these things, but don't let your heart grow proud and cause you to forget the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11 says, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God, and not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day." And verse 14 says, "Then thine heart shall be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Be careful that you don't forget where they come from. What are we going to do about it? How are we going to keep from getting this disease of forgetfulness? I don't like needles. I never have. They hurt. But sometimes we need a shot. One of the things that the Israelites had to suffer was their hardships during their wilderness wanderings. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, fed manna. God furnished them all the things that they needed, but they didn't have the bounty that they were about to inherit. Isn't that great? You think about it. They were fed manna for 40 years and on occasions quail. God furnished them water. Their shoes did not wear out. Their clothes did not wear out. And they existed. They had what they needed, but they were about to come into an inheritance of a land that was described as flowing with milk and honey. God says, don't forget where you came from. Our hardships are the thing that will help us to come through. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5 says, verse 3 says, "And be humble thee, and he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna which thou knewest not, neither did the fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth he live." God disciplines those whom he loves. Through difficulties, God teaches us to remember him. So sometimes the difficulties that we go through cause us to remember God. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, "Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as man chasteneth his son, so the Lord thy God chasteneth thee." There I go. And verse 16. who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which the fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy later end. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, Paul says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said to me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Paul says, to keep me humble, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. He gave me a problem, something, what it was, I don't know. But it was something to keep Paul in remembrance that he was a servant of God, to be grateful for the things that he had. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up thy hands which hang down, and the feeble knees." Chastening, that humbling experience, doesn't seem to be very good when it's happening. I can remember those chastenings that happened in the bedroom. They didn't bother taking us to the woodshed. They brought the woodshed to us. Sometimes it took them a while to go find the exact piece of wood, and maybe that's so that they'd settle down and not quite kill us, although we thought they were going to. The chastening did not seem good at the time. But in the end, it worked out for our benefit. And that's one of the things that I suppose I'd like to tell the lawyers in the legal system today when they tell you you cannot discipline your child and say, well, if I can't discipline them now, you better build a bigger jailhouse because you'll have to discipline them later. You know, in years gone by when parents disciplined their children, we didn't have quite as full a jailhouse, did we? Because they learned at an early age to be humble, to obey authority. And we need to remember to obey authority, whether it be civil, parental, or godly. James 1 in verses 2 through 4, James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." In verse 5 he says, "And if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." That's all right. That's our next slide. Moses warned Israel over and over again, don't forget where your blessings come from. And what did Israel do? They forgot where their blessings came from. And what did the Lord do? He punished them. He chastised them. He took them into slavery. If you will go back and read your Old Testament history and the history of Israel and the prophets, you will see that Israel was a prosperous people as long as they were obedient to God. But when they started getting filled with pride and look at what I did and I don't need the Lord, and they started turning away from him, they started worshiping other idols and going after other gods, other nations would come in and they would have wars against them, and that's when they would take their possessions and they would take what you call bounty. They would take them into slavery. Israel became prosperous and they forgot about the Lord. And now when we look at Israel and their history, what about the U.S.? What about the United States? What about other countries in the world? Are we following after the pattern of Israel? Are we going down the same road? Forgetting that our blessings and our prosperity came from God, and it's not us, and it's not our decisions, and it's not the work of our hand, as much as it is, or more than it is, God's blessing, the works of our hand. Let's talk a little bit about our spiritual values. Number one, resist pride. Make it a note, resist pride. We said pride cometh before the fall. Resist pride. Develop true value. Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, when the devil came to tempt him, and he says, if you are hungry, command that these stones be turned to bread. Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to feed the body. We also need to feed the soul. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. We know babies crave milk. The reason they crave milk is because that's all they can eat. But not many of us in here this morning live on a diet of milk. We have grown to eat other things, meat, potatoes, and vegetables, and carrots. And nowadays, people are cooking turnips. They're starting to come in, garden items. When it comes to spiritual growth, we start out eating milk. The simple thing. Things that should help us to grow, but after a while we need to be developing ourselves towards the fact that we're able to eat stronger things. A few weeks ago when Kyle Butts was having the debate against the atheist, do you think he's eaten milk for years to be able to stand up and make that kind of a defense? Now, he's been eating some things stronger than milk, hadn't he? What about you? And I'm not saying that you ought to be able to stand up and give that kind of a defense, particularly because some people are just blessed with that ability and some people are not. But are you eating the same things that you were years ago when you first obeyed the gospel? Or have you reached the point where you're able to teach others? Have you reached the point where you're able to go out and to tell someone else what they need to do in order to be pleasing to God? Have you reached the point where you're able to set the right kind of example? We should be clothed with Christ. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So the idea there is that we put Christ on. When people look at us, what should they see? They should see Christ. They should see His example. They should see His reflection in us. So as our true values, we should feed the body and the soul. We should be clothed with Christ. We should look for our home in heaven. In John 14, verses 1 through 3, Jesus told His disciples, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So much like the Israelites wandering in the wilderness are getting ready for a greater inheritance and bounty and blessings, we're getting ready for a greater inheritance than what we have here. God is making a place for us. And I often wonder, if it took Him 6 days to make the heavens and the earth and the universe and all things that therein are, and He's been working on heaven for the last 2,000 plus years, how great a place is that going to be? I've got a home in heaven, and that's the thing I need to be looking for. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1 says, "If you know that your earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, it's eternal in the heavens." In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, He says, "And He said to them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Your life is not made up and how much stuff you got. It's made up of what? What you do with it and where you're going when it's gone. We're talking about spiritual blessings, spiritual remembrance. Should have a thankful heart. And that's where it goes to, having a thankful heart. Continuously remember God's past blessings. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2 says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. And He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Thy raiment waxed not old upon thee, neither did thy foot swell these 40 years." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 24. Paul says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he'd supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood, which this do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And Acts 20 and verse 7 says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." And James 1 and verse 17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance and neither shadow of turning. As we look at these, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15 says, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Romans 8 and verse 18 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are called according to His purpose. Remembering. Memory improvement. Using your memory. Never forgetting where it comes from. And how can I do that? Prayer. Getting up in the morning and beginning with prayer. Going to bed in the evening, ending with prayer. Reading the Word. Meditating. Singing songs. Fellowshipping and worshiping with other Christians. There are a number of things. Taking time for reflection. Good memory is a sign of good health. While forgetfulness is a sign of declining fitness. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 20 says, as a nation which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. The biggest threats to spiritual renewal is the influence of affluence. May not be able to see that quite so well, but the biggest threat to your spiritual renewal is the influence of affluence. The problems that we get into when we begin to be affluent and we begin to prosper, and the temptation to forget. Luke 8 and verse 14 says, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they had heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So we can get to the point where we become so concerned with the cares of this world that we forget why we're here. Next, we need to take time for God. I recall this movie called The Shawshank Redemption. I don't know if you ever seen that movie. In that movie, it's a movie about a prison and prison life. And there's a fella, and this movie is set back in the early 1950s, 60s, somewhere in that neighborhood. But one of the characters in the prison, his name is Brooks. And he'd been sentenced to prison back in the earlier 1900s for 50 years. And after 50 years being in prison, he finally got out. He was out on parole, and he wrote back to his friends in prison, and he told them, he said, you know, I saw an automobile once when I was young, but now they're everywhere, and it just seems like the world has gone and gotten itself in a great big hurry. We can get in a great big hurry and forget to take time for God. Psalms verse 40, chapter 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. So we need to remember to take time for God. Those are things that we need to do that will help us to ward off spiritual forgetfulness, that all things we have come from God. Take time for God. Remember to say thanks a lot. And next week we will begin another lesson on renewing our focus. Thank you this morning.